The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back, everybody. Rise and shine once again. 7:30. I got a subject I'd like to talk to you about this morning, and it's something that I almost never talk about directly, at least. I think I've talked about it indirectly all the time, but almost never talk directly about the subject of evangelization. Evangelization. What's evangelization? Well, it's the call from the Lord to share the message of the gospel with people who don't believe it or who have never heard it yet, right? Now, as Catholics, we're not very comfortable with that idea. Don't we imagine, that's what the evangelical churches do. We're Catholics. We don't do that, right? Well, you know what? Let's just talk about evangelization just for kicks, okay? Just for fun. All right. So sharing the message of the gospel, best I can reckon, there's only three reasons why people don't share the message of the gospel. Just three reasons. The first is that you know the message of the gospel and you don't want to share it because you don't really believe it yourself. And this can happen all over the place, even with people who come to church. Even with people who come to church on a weekly basis. There can be all kinds of reasons people would come to church. They can come to church to keep family peace and harmony, or maybe they have a sense of community and belonging, or maybe it's just part of the weekly routine. However, something huge is missing from their lives, namely a conviction that the most important thing in life by a mile is their personal relationship with God in the person of Jesus Christ. Somehow that's missing, and it's no wonder they don't want to share it. They don't even believe it themselves. Another reason would be that you know the message of the gospel and you don't want to share it because you haven't stopped to realize just how much good it will do for other people. I could go on for a long time about this, and I won't, but I have been amazed at how the smallest bits of the message of the gospel have made the hugest impact on people. And people don't sometimes share it. They're just not thinking enough about the good of other people. And now there's a third possibility for why people don't share the message of the gospel. It's because they do know the message of the gospel, and they do want to share the message of the gospel, but they don't think it'll make any difference. So they don't even try. Maybe they doubt themselves, and they feel awkward, or they don't know what to say, or they're afraid they're not going to be able to answer the follow-up questions, or they don't think it's the right time. Or maybe they doubt their neighbor. They think to themselves, oh, it's not going to make any difference, so they just don't even bother. So there's three reasons why people don't share the gospel, and if you're really savvy and astute, you might have picked up on the fact that one of them comes from a lack of faith, one of them comes from a lack of hope, and the other one comes from a lack of love. And so what I really have for you this morning is three questions. I ask you to think about this. Okay? Do you have enough faith in the goodness of the gospel to want to share it with other people? Do you have enough love for your neighbor to want to share with them what you've discovered? And maybe most importantly of all, do you have enough hope in God's power to make up for everything that's lacking in your circumstances? Three little questions for you to run home and think about, okay? Don't run home right away. Stay till the end. But the reason why I raise this subject is because we hear a gospel today that we only hear once every 3 years, and that's Jesus sending out the 72 disciples. Not just 12 apostles, but 72 disciples. Only Luke talks about this. It's not in any other gospel. That Jesus sends out 72 people ahead of him to prepare the way for every town and place he intends to visit. Why 72? Well, if you know your Old Testament, you might remember that Moses appointed 72 people to help him because he couldn't do all the work himself. Couldn't do all the work himself. So here's Jesus deliberately setting himself up as a new Moses. And don't think that fact was lost on all these first century Jews. They all would have understood what he was doing. Very bold move on our Lord's part. 72 is also a symbolic number. It was believed that there were 72 nations on the face of the earth with a message that this gospel is meant for everybody. And I mean everybody. If we start a colony on the moon, we'll send people up to proclaim the gospel on the moon. It's meant for everybody. Okay? But the Lord sends out 12 apostles, and you could think of those 12 apostles as being like the clergy. The apostles were the first bishops, really. Well, if that's the case, then who's the 72 that he sends out to help? The 72 apostles, the disciples, they represent you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you want to pay attention to what Jesus says here. Because what he says to those 72, he says that to all of you. I can't go over all that he says to those 72. We'd be here all day, okay? But let me just go over one thing that he says to them. He says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. What does it mean, the harvest is abundant? What's the harvest? Well, the harvest is the harvest of human souls. The world in which we're living is feeding us a constant, steady diet of spiritual emptiness. And spiritually speaking, we are starving to death. That's why the harvest is abundant. You realize every person, not only every person here, every person out there, I don't care where they live, I don't care if they believe in God or not, or whether they don't even bother to think about it. Every single person in the world is made by God, no matter what their religion. And every single person is made with a desire in their heart that only God can fill. You're made with a desire for truth, but not just for truth, but for infinite truth. You ever wonder why science keeps on asking and asking and searching and searching and exploring, and we keep on wanting more and more? It's because you got a soul, and your soul was made for truth. And only God is infinite truth. Only God will ever satisfy that yearning. It means that you were made for love, but not just for any love, but for infinite love. And no human being can deliver that, and no possession can deliver that, and no title or honor can deliver that. Only God can deliver that, and the world keeps serving up dish after dish of absolute, complete spiritual emptiness. And you want to know why, the root problem, why there's so much despair, why there's so much anger and hopelessness, substance abuse, and all the problems that stem from that. It's because people are searching for God and they haven't found Him. The harvest is abundant, ladies and gentlemen. And our Lord says, almost with sadness in His voice, the laborers are few. But do you realize you're the laborers? Do you realize you've got a treasure just being here? And this might sound like an exaggeration, but what you've got in the faith, the Catholic faith, is more valuable than all the money and all the banks in all the world. Because if you could have all the money and all the banks in all the world, well, probably the first thing I'd do is ask you to help us pay off our debt. But the second thing you'd want to realize is that it wouldn't make you happy. It wouldn't make you happy, but in the Lord, you've got what will. The laborers are few, and the Lord trusts in you to help Him to get His message out. And for years, we've always thought, well, that's what the priest was supposed to do. Can I give you a little statistic here this morning? Do you know what percentage of the church in the United States are Catholic priests? Okay. It's about 37,000 priests right now in America, about 37,000. We couldn't even fill up the good seats in a decent stadium. 37,000, okay? You know how many lay people there are? At least in name only, who are Catholic? 70 million. Now, don't worry, I did the math for you, okay, this morning. That means that in the Catholic Church in the USA, less than one half of one tenth of 1% of the church are priests. If it's left up to me, God help us. No prayer, no hope whatsoever. A lot of people think, you know, I want to keep my faith separate from my life. I want to keep my faith separate from my life. Do you realize how absurd that is? Let me show you how absurd that statement is. Let me swap out the word faith for any number of things that faith means. Suppose you said, I want to keep my honesty separate from my life. That doesn't make any sense. I want to keep my courage separate from my life. I want to keep my thoughtfulness separate from my life. I want to keep my love separate from my life. It makes no sense. We believe what we believe because it's so true and it's so good. And when you know that, you can't help but want to share it. And I love this little line here. Jesus says He sent them out ahead of Him in every town and place He intended to visit. You know what that means? That means you don't have to convince anybody of anything. All you got to do is arrange a meeting. When the Lord sends you to somebody to help share the gospel, it means that He wants to meet that person. You're just His advance team. Your job is to arrange the meeting, and that's all you have to do. How do you do that? Well, two ways. Two ways in which you evangelize. One is by word and one is by example, and they're both important. Do not worry. It's okay to wait for an opportune moment. You don't have to clobber people over the head with the gospel. You don't have to stand by the water cooler at work and come up to each person and ask, when's the last time you went to confession? When's the last time you went to confession? You don't have to do that. Wait for the opportune moment, but it's going to happen with both word and example. Can I give you a couple little examples from my own life that made a big difference? One of them was I was in college, and I walked into the chapel with a fellow student, and he genuflected before the Blessed Sacrament. But he didn't just genuflect. He genuflected like he really meant it. He genuflected like he knew who was there. He went down, bowed down, stayed down. And I guess it kind of felt awkward for him. Maybe he was wearing his heart on his sleeve. Didn't say a word, and it made a huge impact on me. And he never knew it. Another example was by actual word and invitation. Back in college, I went over to this girl's house, and I showed up too early. And the family was inside, and they were all saying the rosary, and they saw that I was outside. And the girl comes out, and she says, why don't you get on in here and say the rosary with us? And it made the hugest impact on me. And she probably felt a little bit uncomfortable. It was going out on a limb, wearing her heart on her sleeve. But she made the offer, and it made such a big difference in my life. That is what you and I need to do. Don't be afraid. It will feel a little bit uncomfortable, but don't be afraid by your word and your example. There was a child once who wrote me a card by hand. And I guess this child had heard me say frequently, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you, Jesus. I say that a lot. And I think maybe the child garbled the message. Because the message I got was a card, and inside a great big heart was written the words, Jesus trusts in you. And it was the most powerful words. Jesus really does trust in you. The harvest is so rich, and he would call them all to himself. But he doesn't do it directly. He does it through people who are willing to help. The laborers are few. And know these words and fix them in your heart. Jesus himself puts his trust in you. And the words that I say at the end of the Mass are the words that are really the summation of all that I want to say to you this morning. When you're done here today, go in peace and glorify the Lord with your life. Amen.